لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم.
In the name of Allah, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. And when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead, he said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes, indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by affront, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
Welcome once again, dear listeners. You're tuned in to Iran Radio, broadcasting from the heart of Tehran. Let's take a moment to preview what's coming up in the next hour. We begin with the latest edition of news. Right after the news, we invite you to listen to the Ocean of Dua. Next, we'll return with another edition of Radio Productions. And then, stay with us for insights into the Holy Quran. Up next, the news. Don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Palestinians in Gaza wake up to fresh military attacks as Israel continues its aggression against the besieged territory. The United Nations warns that the hunger crisis in Gaza has reached an unprecedented level. And the U.S. State Department fires over 1,300 employees. Critics accuse the administration of trying to install Trump loyalists. Hello and a warm welcome. You've tuned into World News Live from Tehran with me, Zakaria Zainab. Thank you so much for joining us. Palestinians in Gaza wake up to fresh military attacks as Israel continues its aggression against the besieged territory. In one of the latest strikes, at least four Palestinians were killed when Israeli warplanes bombed a gas station in Deir al-Balah, central Gaza. A separate attack in the same area claimed several more lives. Israeli forces also shelled multiple neighborhoods across Gaza, including Rimal, Sheikh Ridwan, and El Tufa, killing and wounding several Palestinians. According to the Gaza health officials, at least 26 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza since dawn on Saturday. The ongoing Israeli onslaught, which began in October 2023, has so far killed more than 57,800 Palestinians, and nearly 138,000 others have been injured. To get an update on the situation on the ground, we're joined by our correspondent, Gada Ibrahim, joining us from Gaza City. Welcome to the program, Gada. Give us an update on the current situation, where you are, and if you have some updates also on the talks about negotiation that is going on right now in Doha. Please share that with our audience as well.
The situation in Gaza is getting really more intensified than before, and it has been for more than 10 days now since the talks in Doha began. The Israeli occupation has been intensifying its attacks on the Gaza Strip, killing more Palestinians. This night was really bloody for the Palestinians in Gaza and in the south in Khan Yunis city. A massacre was committed in Khan Yunis city that resulted in the killing of 9 of the same family, Abu Reda family, including an ex-prisoner. And here in Gaza, from dawn until now, at least 13 people were killed in different airstrikes, and the most brutal of them targeted an apartment in Ar-Rimal neighborhood that resulted in the killing of 3 of Azdaq family, including an ex-prisoner, the youngest ex-prisoner from the Israeli occupation prisons, Yusuf Azdaq. Yusuf is mentioned worthy that Yusuf was actually the youngest ex-prisoner inside the Israeli prisons before his mother, when his mother was actually pregnant with him and she gave birth to him inside the Israeli prisons. However, this night or this dawn, the Israeli occupation forces assassinated them by a direct attack on his apartment, on the family apartment, that resulted also in the killing of many members of the family as well. From dawn until now, at least 26 Palestinians have been killed, and the number is increasing, as the number of the casualties is still not actually known for sure, as the Israeli occupation army kept bombing the same area of Mahatat al-Kurd in the middle area of Gaza for more than 4 times, whenever the crews or the medical crews and the civil defense crews are trying to rescue the injured and to rescue the people who are trapped under the rubble of that building. The Israeli occupation kept actually bounding the place more and more. The situation in the Gaza Strip is really very dire, and the more evacuation orders were issued to more vast areas near to the center of the city, not only to the eastern parts of the city, but the center of the city has got evacuation orders this night.
Okay, Gada, of course we are hearing about the possibility of a likely resolution to the ceasefire negotiation, but we'll be keeping our eyes on that in the later development. That is our correspondent Gada Ibrahim joining us from Gaza City. Thank you so much. The top UN expert on Palestinian rights says she plans to continue her work despite US sanction. Francesca Albanese warned that the conditions could set a dangerous precedent for human rights defenders worldwide. She said it is scary that there are no red lines anymore. Albanese has repeatedly criticized Israel and the US for the genocide in Gaza. She is also the first special rapporteur to be sanctioned. The US has cited her role in the prosecutions of Israeli leaders at the International Criminal Court. Albanese now faces asset freezes in the US and potential travel restrictions. The UN Human Rights Office has called for the decision to be reversed, and rights defenders worldwide have also rallied to defense. Washington also last month imposed sanctions on 4 ICC judges due to the court's arrest warrant for Netanyahu. Analyst and political commentator Mick Napier says the U.S. sanctions against UN Rapporteur Francesca Albanese exposes Washington's open hostility towards international law and human rights.
The U.S. has covered up multiple massacres and invasions, overthrowing governments, exterminations, support for the most bestial regimes. And it's covered it up with this veil of commitment to human rights that they supposedly honour. Now we see them coming out into open banditry. We see them actively promoting the genocide, the Israeli genocide, not as onlookers, but like Britain, as active participants, providing the £2,000 bombs and other material which is used in the mass killing. And politically protecting the perpetrators. This is unprecedented, and it's the first time they've actually had to take this kind of disciplinary action against international bodies charged with protecting human rights and preserving the idea of the rule of law. It's very clear that the very notion of international law, of anything that can protect the weak against the strong, has been completely shredded. So the sanctions against this brave rapporteur, I think, simply drive the point home to more and more people.
The United Nations is warning that hunger crisis in Gaza has reached an unprecedented level. The UN World Food Programme says humanitarian efforts in Gaza are crippled by access restrictions imposed by Israel. The organization's deputy executive director says the situation is worse than ever seen before. It says humanitarian needs were never higher and the UN's access have never been more constrained. The WFP says a third of Gazans now go for days without eating, warning the 90,000 children are now in urgent need of treatment for malnutrition. This comes after the UN Human Rights Office said at least 800 people have been killed by Israeli forces while receiving aid in the Gaza Strip. Israeli media have also confirmed that the killings are deliberate and ordered by senior regime commanders. Palestinian authorities say settlers' attacks in the occupied West Bank have claimed the lives of more Palestinians. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent in Ramallah for more details about new Israeli settler attacks against Palestinians in the town of St. Gil. Let's take a listen.
The Palestinian Ministry of Health have declared the martyrdom of the Palestinian young man, Saifuddin Mislit, 23 years old, due to severe beating by Israeli settlers. Saifuddin was on the edges of St. Gil village, just trying to be with the Palestinians over there, with the farmers, with the Palestinians who are trying to cling on to their lands, not to lose it to a new Israeli settler outpost into the south side of the village, where the Israeli settlers, hundreds of Israeli settlers, attacked those Palestinians. And unfortunately, Saifuddin was severely beaten. And then after hours of relentless aggression by the Israeli settlers, Saifuddin was found dead on the field. The continuation of the story, Bardia, was not much better. So since the hours of the early evening and until before 30 minutes, the Palestinians have been searching for a missing youth. Another Palestinian youth have been missing in the spot only 30 minutes ago, which means after more than 8 hours, Mohammed Shalabi, also 23 years old, was found also killed on the spot in St. Gil, killed by the Israeli settlers with a gunshot wound to the chest and severe beatings to the head.
We go now to Yemen, where in the capital, Sana'a, tens of thousands of Yemenis gathered once again in a massive Friday demonstration to reaffirm their full support for the people of Gaza. Protesters also hailed the country's armed forces for their anti-Israeli operations and targeting Israeli-bound vessels. Yusuf Mari has a report.
The streets of Sana'a filled with chants of solidarity and resistance as protesters condemned the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza and called for continued action against the Israeli regime.
Today, we come to this place, the vault of strong and steadfastness, to support people in Gaza. And from this important place, we send the message to the enemies of the good American Israel that Palestine is our case and we will continue the war against you until you stop your criminal war and aggression in Gaza.
Demonstrators also voiced strong support for the Yemeni armed and naval forces and their operations against Israeli targets in the Red Sea.
We came out supporting Gaza and to say that our efforts will continue to counter any challenges and to meet escalations with escalations. We also send praise to our armed forces and air defenses who continue to counter the Israeli fighter jets.
With rising regional tensions, the crowd sent a direct warning to the U.S., Israel, and Britain.
We send a message to the U.S., Israel, and Britain. If you approach us from the sea, you will be attacked at sea. If you approach from air, you will be attacked and destroyed. And if you come at us from the ground, you will be burned in it.
The demonstration is part of a growing wave of Yemeni mobilization, signaling continued defiance and readiness to escalate until the aggression on Gaza comes to an end. In another Friday protest, Yemenis show support for Palestinians and praise their navy for sinking two Israeli-linked vessels this past week. More vessels will continue to sink According to Ansar Allah officials, if they attempt to violate Yemen's law against Israeli shipping. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
And now to the UK, where protesters have gathered outside Rolls-Royce headquarters in London, accusing the British firm of being complicit in the genocide in Gaza by supplying parts for Israel F-35 jets. The protest is organized by a campaign against armed trade, which says 15% of every Israeli F-35 fighter jet is made by British companies. Our correspondent was there, spoke to the people, and fly this report.
Unfortunately, this country is very much is complicit as a contributor to the genocide. We've got so many companies producing parts for the weapons and things like Israeli weapons companies such as Elbit are based in this country. So British companies very much complicit in actually producing the material that is that's being used daily against Palestinians. And it's very, really interesting that we're here. This is Rolls-Royce are based in this building here. But next door, we have the Guardian newspaper have their offices, you know, which is an equally important part of Britain's contribution to what's happening, providing the ideological justification. And also, Britain plays a role in hindering and hampering international action being taken against the criminal Israeli government.
Rolls-Royce is one of the big arms suppliers, and you know they're selling arms in the name of the British people and American people, and I object to killing being done in my name and with my tax dollars.
Yeah, we're here to tell Rolls-Royce to stop arming the Israeli regime. Their engine technologies, both made by Rolls-Royce here but also Rolls-Royce in the US and their German subsidiary, are being used in Israeli tanks, in their armored vehicles, in their warships, in their submarines, in their transport aircraft, in their spy planes, across the Israeli war machine. And we're saying that it's high time that this company stopped supplying those weapons to Israel.
It's just shameful, really, that multiple companies will turn around and support Israel in their genocidal, genocide. There's nothing else to say about it. It's just genocide, straight up and simple. We've seen genocide multiple times, and every time we see it, we always say never again, never again. When is it going to be never again?
The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman has slammed the German Chancellor for supporting Israel's unprovoked military attack against Iran. In a social media post, Ismail Baghaei said Frederick Merz persists in his support for Israeli crimes at the cost of contravening fundamental principles of the UN Charter and international law. Baghaei said endorsing an injustice is no less than complicity in it. He stressed that German government cannot shrug off responsibility for Israel's war of aggression and war crimes against Iran. Speaking to German lawmakers, Merz recently expressed confidence about the legitimacy and legality of Israeli attacks against Iran under international law. He had previously also defended the regime's aggression, saying Israel is doing the West dirty work. Now to the U.S., where the State Department has begun laying off over 1,300 employees.
And to those that have been riffed, to those that have been fired today, I just want to say I'm sorry. And you have deserved better than this. I think every single person, when you leave this building, you walk through out those doors for the final time, you should do it with honor and dignity. You should not do it out of humiliation and out of this type of weaponization of politics. You deserve better.
We need to do everything we can to stop what's happening right now. And people are standing up like you are right now. And what dictators and authoritarians and bullies want is they want people to go away. They want them to be quiet. They want them to go quietly into the night. But real patriots, they stand up at moments like this.
The firing will affect over 100 civil service and some 246 foreign service officers in Washington, D.C. The move comes just days after the Supreme Court cleared the way for the Trump administration to implement its controversial plan to significantly reduce the size of government departments. Critics have sounded the alarm about the potential complications of these cuts. particularly as the world faces escalating crises in regions like Ukraine and Gaza. And that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. As always, more is on our website to keep you updated. Thank you so much for joining us. Goodbye for now.
Can we not see how the planets look like diamonds in the sky? And everything on earth was created for you and I. Can we not see? Smiling at your fellow man, or looking up at the velvet sky, and sometimes it makes me wonder why we're all still here. Do we feel a deeper meaning? All again, do we think it's all again? Do we think it's all again? Do we think it's all again?
سيدي ومولاي the ocean of dua.
Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidayya.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام، زيارة العاشوراء. So stay with us.
فلعن الله أمتان أسست أساس الظلم والجار عليكم أهل البيت. ولعن الله أمتان دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
In the previous program, dear listeners, we started talking about the important consequences of laying the foundation of wrongdoing and injustice against the Ahlul Bayt عليهم السلام. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت. Why do these oppressors deserve to be cursed by the Almighty Allah, deserve to be away from His mercy? One aspect of that can be seen throughout the different traditions of the Ahlul Bayt about the effects and the consequences of starting this oppression against the Ahlul Bayt. The first consequence that we started talking about was facilitating deviation in Islamic beliefs among Muslim Ummah, the deviation in wilaya and guardianship, for example. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Baqir alayhi salam is reported to have said, فوالله لو أن رجلا عبد الله عمره ما بين الركن والمقام ثم مات ولم يجئ بولايتنا لأكبه الله في النار على وجهه. I swear by Allah, if a man were to worship Allah throughout his life between al-rukn and al-maqam and thereafter die, but not come with our wilaya and guardianship, which imam means the accepting of that fact, Allah would throw him down on his face into the fire of hell. This very imam is also reported to have said, indeed, the garden of heaven craves for the arrival of the progeny of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and their followers, and its light intensifies on their arrival. And if a slave of Allah were to worship Allah without our love and our guardianship between rukn and maqam until such an extent that his joints are severed, Allah would not accept that from him. And this deviation of not accepting the guardianship of the true imams, this is what led to the people standing in the face of their imam and what happened in the events of Karbala.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies, it clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates him. He understands his dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Imam Abu Hassan al-Ridha alayhi salam is reported to have said, "Inna al-imamata usul Islam." Indeed, imamah and divine leadership is the base of the religion of Islam. Bil imami tamamu salati wa zakati wa siyami wal hajj wal jihad. Through imam is achieved the completeness of prayer, zakat, fasting, hajj, and jihad. And it was because of the disregarding of the fundamental belief of imama that the rest of the roots of religion, like tawheed, adl, ma'ad, etc., were misunderstood. Misleading ideas such as determinism and anthropomorphism, literalism, etc., crept into the Muslim nation. This was the start of that deviation. The Shia of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, however, remaining steadfast to the rope of imama, never deviated from the path of salvation and maintained the correct principles and branches of faith. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had guaranteed them by saying, "Ma in tamassaktum bihima lan tadhillu abada." As long as you hold fast onto them both, that is, the Holy Quran and my infallible household, you shall never go astray. And although you may have achieved the greatness of this impact and the importance of the fundamental consequence of laying this foundation, this was only one of the consequences. But yet the most important one, since belief is the most important pillar elevating the man, and this is what renders his actions validated. This is what validates his deeds and actions. In the next program, we'll try to discuss another consequence of laying the foundation of oppression against the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Anta alladhi sana'ta min ar-rumhi min bara dhamana wa az-zamanu bi'aynika mumtira ni'mal amir أنت حسين.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the vast sky of Iran's history, certain names shine like brilliant stars, names that through steadfastness and devotion have earned not only victories on the battlefield but a place in the hearts of every Iranian. The commanders of this land from ancient times to today have always stood as symbols of resistance, courage, and sacrifice. Relying on faith, knowledge, and a deep love for their homeland, they have confronted every threat and defended the honor and integrity of this nation. Commander Ghulam Ali Rashid is one of those immortal names, a man whose presence on the battlefield struck fear into the heart of the enemy and whose patriotic zeal served as an unbreakable shield for his country. A time life spent defending Iran and its ideals ultimately culminated in his martyrdom during the Zionist regime's aggression against Iran. His name is now recorded forever in the scroll of this land's glory. Born in 1953 in the city of Desful in the southern province of Khuzestan, Ghulam Ali Rashid stepped onto the path of jihad from an early age. His political activities against the Pahlavi regime reflected the determined will of this remarkable man. Before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, due to his anti-regime actions, he was arrested and transferred to Ahvaz, where he served a non-year prison sentence. That prison term became a turning point, bringing him into contact with prominent figures such as Mohsen Rezai and Ali Shamkhani, who would later become senior commanders in the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, IRGC. In 1976, he was arrested again in Isfahan and transferred to Tehran, spending yet another year in prison. But even prison walls could not contain his resolve. Upon release, he resumed his struggle with renewed strength on the front lines of truth against tyranny. Following the establishment of the IRGC, Ghulam Ali Rashid began his service as the Deputy for Intelligence and Operations in the Desful IRGC. During the Iraqi Ba'ath regime's imposed war against Iran, he rose to become one of the Iran's senior commanders, playing a pivotal role in many major operations. Beyond his military service, Commander Rashid was also a leader in the realm of knowledge and education. He held a master's degree in political geography from the University of Tehran and a PhD in the same field from Tarbiyat Mudarris University. He also served as an associate professor and faculty member at both the Supreme National Defense University and Imam Hussein University, training generations of future defense scholars and officers. Elevated to the rank of Major General, he was appointed Deputy Chief of the General Staff of the Armed Forces, and he also served as Deputy for Defense Affairs at the Secretariat of the Supreme National Security Council. And finally, the proud culmination of this honorable path was the martyrdom that testifies to his ultimate level of loyalty and self-sacrifice. On the morning of Friday, June 13th, 2025, Commander Rashid attained martyrdom in a cowardly Israeli missile strike on Tehran, sacrificing his life in defense of the homeland he had so long protected. Throughout decades of service, his record was one of wisdom, leadership, and unmatched bravery. As one of the chief commanders of the Sacred Defense era, he played a vital role in planning and executing major, decisive military operations. His active presence on the front lines and his sensitive role, such as Deputy for Intelligence and Operations in Darfur, bear witness to his deep involvement and commitment to defending the country's borders. His ability to coordinate between the Army and IRGC at Khatam al-Anbiya headquarters, the highest operational command structure of Iran's armed forces, was a clear reflection of his exceptional strategic and managerial capabilities. This distinguished performance made him one of the chief architects of Iran's post-revolutionary defensive power. What doubled the strength of Commander Rashid was not only his military ability, but his insight and intellectual depth. His academic background in political geography and his scientific activities in prestigious institutions gave his military analysis profound richness. He was not merely a battlefield commander, he was a thoughtful strategist who fused theoretical knowledge with experience. This combination of scholarship, experience, and foresight made him a heavyweight figure not only in combat zones, but also in strategy rooms and high-level planning sessions. His presence lent great weight to decisions and operations, making him a model of both power and prudence. In the end, the martyrdom of Commander Rashid is a cowardly act of Israeli aggression, highlighted the peak of his strength and faithfulness to the nation and its ideals. To his final breath, he wore the uniform of service and defense. His life is textbook in resistance, sacrifice, and patriotism. His brilliance and unparalleled courage remain a lasting legacy, a legacy that secures his name an eternal place in the proud history of Iran.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the commentary points of Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th chapter of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have a look at the 83rd verse of Surah Qasas. Let's listen to the verse and we'll be back with our discussion.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين.
That home of the hereafter we assign to those who do not desire exaltedness upon the earth or corruption, and the best outcome is for the righteous.
So, dear listeners, up to now, up to this 83rd verse of the chapter, we have covered many sections. Now, this is yet another section of this chapter, which is could be called the ninth section of this chapter, which is discussing the Apostle, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his progeny. So, this verse works the resolution of the story of Qarun and indicating that any amassing wealth and self-superiority is the cause of destruction in the world and wretchedness in hereafter. But this verse says, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So that the abode of hereafter, we assign it for those who do not intend to exalt themselves in the earth, nor to make mischief, and the good end is for the pious ones. Now, according to some Islamic narrations, Hadrat Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam recited this holy verse for the merchants in the market. Now, in this regard, A tradition indicates that if a person thinks of himself as superior to another person because of having a better shoelace, even that to that extent, he is one of those who intend to exalt themselves in the earth. Now, there are many people who, for providing a residence, for providing a vehicle, a clothing, a speech, a marriage, or nominating their child, do something that they may become recognized in the society and attract people to themselves. Such people, as this tradition denotes, intend to exalt themselves in the earth, and these people will be deprived from heaven. So, after mentioning the agitating story of that rich, proud, and criminal man, which was Qarun, this verse is considered as a statement that is in fact a general conclusion for this event. So it says, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. You know what? The abode of hereafter is assigned for those who do not intend to exalt themselves in the earth, nor to make mischief. Now, we'll have a break, and we'll be back. So, brothers and sisters, we were discussing the 83rd verse of this surah, Surah Qasas. And we said that this 83rd verse is a kind of conclusion for the story of that rich, proud criminal, which was Qarun. Now, this statement is a general conclusion, and it says that Darul Akhirah, the abode of hereafter, is only for those who do not intend to make mischief in the earth, لا فسادة ولا يريدون علوا في الأرض, those who do not intend to exalt themselves. Not only they are not self-superior or and mischievous, but also they do not even intend to do it. Their heart is free from these affairs, and their soul is far from these kinds of pollutions. So that's why the verse says, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. Whatever causes the deprivation of man from the merits of the abode of hereafter is found, indeed, in these very two things, all sins are concentrated in self-superiority and mischief in the earth. لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. And the interesting point is that this fasad is mentioned after ulu. So it means that since the concept of exalting oneself precedes mischief and being mischievous in the earth, it could be inferred that the very beginning of making mischief by some people is that they consider themselves as superior to others, as so they somehow have this kind of feeling that they are the ones that are exalted and they consider themselves superior to others. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. We'll continue more on this verse in the next episode. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the
this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Greetings, dear listeners, and a sincere thank you for joining us here on Iran Radio. We begin with another segment of radio productions. Next, we present Olema's speech. In this program, you'll hear excerpts from the original Farsi and Arabic lectures of esteemed Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities. Accompanied by English translation, it's a unique opportunity to hear directly from the scholars who shape our understanding of faith and practice. Then Radio Productions returns with more engaging content. Concluding this hour is Minbar. Up next is time for another segment of Radio Productions. Please stay with us.
He is revered by millions, a figure of humility and principle in the world increasingly adrift in chaos. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, leader of the Islamic Revolution, is not just a political steward of a nation, he is a spiritual compass for millions of Muslims across the world. Since 1989, this man has led with a voice that champions the oppressed, whether in Palestine, Yemen, Lebanon, or beyond. A scholar and jurist, his influence stretches far beyond Iran's borders, echoing from the seminaries of Qom to the streets of Baghdad, Beirut, and Kashmir. His message is often the same: justice, resistance, and a principled stand against Western imperialism. Modest in appearance, austere in lifestyle, the Ayatollah presents himself as a man of the people. In foreign policy, his support for the oppressed, including the Palestinians, has been unwavering, grounded not in political gain, but in humanitarian conviction. And yet, recently, that same figure has been mocked on the global stage. The man behind the insult, a career showman, and the current president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. In stark contrast to the scholar from Tehran stands a man who built his controversial empire on spectacle. Donald Trump, who traded the glitz of reality TV for the White House, has shown over and over again that he's still more suited to late-night television than serious diplomacy. Trump's presidency has been anything but conventional, marked by bombastic speeches, impulsive decisions, and a relentless pursuit of media attention. While Ayatollah Khamenei's legitimacy stems from decades of religious learning and revolutionary struggle, Trump's ascension is fueled by branding, controversy, and celebrity, and his record tells a different story, one of broken promises, fractured alliances, and purse scandal. January 6, 2021, a date that shattered the image of American exceptionalism. A mob, incited by Trump's refusal to accept electoral defeat, stormed the U.S. Capitol, democracy under siege from within. That year, Trump was impeached again, this time for the incitement of insurrection. The first time he'd been impeached was in 2019 for what came to be known as the Ukraine scandal, where he was accused of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Trump's first round of presidency left the nation more divided than ever, but the scandals didn't end at the White House steps. Allegations of sexual misconduct, financial improprieties, cozying up to authoritarians, a hush money scandal involving adult film actress Stormy Daniels, $130,000 paid to silence her before the 2016 election. He became the first former U.S. president ever criminally indicted. And then there was Mar-a-Lago, where Trump stored hundreds of classified documents after leaving office. Among them, reports suggest nuclear secrets and foreign intelligence. The FBI's search of his estate shocked the nation and the world. Meanwhile, Ayatollah Khamenei seldom smiles before a camera. Trump, it seems, rarely steps away from one. Their images, a study in contrasts. One leads as a theologian, the other as a showman. One sees leadership as divine stewardship, the other as a brand, as a tool to satisfy his whims. In 2018, Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, an agreement that took years to negotiate. He did it first with a tweet. No warning, no plan. It wasn't strategy, it was showmanship.
I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
Trump's foreign policy has blurred the lines between diplomacy and theater, from photo ops with Kim Jong-un to defending Saudi Arabia after the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, to attacking Iran in the midst of negotiations. Trump's actions have been unpredictable and often self-serving. At home, his legacy is marked by chaos, two impeachments, a travel ban on Muslim-majority nations, mishandling the coronavirus pandemic, and a relentless war on the media.
You know what? That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN. All right. And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President,
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have—
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
From porn star Stormy Daniels to E. Jean Carroll, who won a civil case against